I'm Todd Zwillick. Welcome back to The Takeaway. After months of debate, Congress is still squabbling over how to spend $1.1 billion to address Zika. Meanwhile, Puerto Rico is the place struggling hardest with this crisis. Nearly 18,000 infections have been reported on the island. 1,500 of those cases were reported by pregnant women. The territory is already struggling with a massive debt crisis and is working with an existing health infrastructure that was barely sufficient before this virus showed up and strained the system. Nick Brown is former San Juan bureau chief for Reuters, and he contracted Zika while on assignment there. He's written about the illness, the uncertainty, and how this disease has come home for him and for his family, and he joins me now in studio. Nick Brown, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You wrote that at first getting Zika felt like a punch in the throat.
Yeah, I felt a sore throat on a Friday afternoon after I'd had a cigar on my deck. It's my lone vice, but it hung on for a few days. And I first thought it was smoke damage, but I figured maybe it was something worse after 3 days when I was basically chained to my bed, night sweats, fever chills, and just unable to get up.
How long did the symptoms last?
The symptoms lasted about 3 weeks. Initially, they lasted maybe a week and a half, and I got better for a few days. And then I had sort of a relapse like 4 or 5 days later.
So then you know you're sick. You get a little bit better. You get worse. You get better again. Mm-hmm. But you know there's this thing going around. Obviously, you're in the news. It's been in the news. There's an epidemic on the island. How do you go about finding out what's wrong with you?
Well, for a couple of days, you stay in denial and you say there's no way it's Zika. Then you get a text message from your mother saying, I think this might be Zika, and you dismiss that as a mother's, you know, overwrought concerns. But, you know, the symptoms were consistent with it. So when I was in New York visiting my wife a couple days later, I decided to go to my longtime doctor there and get a blood test.
And?
And it was quite an experience because my doctor had to sit on the phone with the New York City Health Department to request permission to give me that blood test, because at the time they were only testing people that had traveled to Zika outbreak areas and that had symptoms. So he first had to make sure I qualified. I guess I passed the test, and sure enough, the city health department okayed a blood test for me.
So you're in this situation where not only are you sick with a virus that we all know researchers and scientists know very little about, but is also contagious. You don't know how much of a danger you might be to other people. We haven't even talked about your wife yet.
Correct, yeah. That was one of the main questions I had, was how can I spread this? What risk is my wife going to be in now? And, you know, I didn't really get straight answers to that question at first. And, you know, that's a sign of I think, the evolving knowledge even in the medical community. You know, I was told sort of broadly to use condoms for 6 months. But you know, as you can imagine, there are other concerns. Can saliva spread it? What about other sex acts? So, you know, it turned into a discussion with my wife. And I think all couples that are dealing with this have to have the same discussions. You know, it doesn't just permeate your bloodstream. It permeates your day-to-day life and some of the more intimate elements of that life.
With all this uncertainty, you mentioned your wife and the obvious issues this has with safe sex between you and what exactly that means. But this is broader than just that, because with all of these unknowns about the virus, this has to get right in the middle of plans that you may have to have children someday. And I imagine she has those anxieties as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I admit initially to being a bit glib about that, as kind of the male and as someone who is thinking initially first more just about the physical impacts of it on me. It's not until you've had the disease for a while that you realize what kind of a time and energy suck it really can be on your marriage and on your day-to-day life. So, for example, it's easy to say, well, 6 months, you know, that's not the end of the world, but science is evolving on these issues by the day. And there is some concern that it could end up being longer than 6 months that you can transmit the virus. And so it's a constant conversation with doctors. It's turned into something that we have to constantly monitor.
Now, you're here in New York. You wrote about how strained the medical system in Puerto Rico was to begin with. When you first got sick, you didn't want to go to a doctor there because they don't take your insurance, and also they're not reliable. Clearly, the medical system there is under enormous pressure even before 18,000 people were infected with a mosquito-borne virus.
Right. You know, Puerto Rico receives proportionately less federal Medicaid and Medicare funding than states because of its territory status. It is hemorrhaging doctors by the day. You add to that an island-wide Zika outbreak, that's certainly going to exacerbate those problems. But, you know, it's also important to note it's not just a medical resources problem or a healthcare problem. It's an economic problem. Puerto Ricans are very concerned that Zika is going to hurt the tourism industry. And it already has. And that's the last thing an island needs when it already has, you know, $70 billion of debt, a declining population, a 45% poverty rate. So frankly, there's some bitterness in Puerto Rico right now. There's some resentment at what they view as hysteria over this virus.
Meanwhile, the politics of funding has gotten mired up in a lot of unrelated issues on Capitol Hill. That federal money still hasn't been passed. And as someone experiencing this illness, I wonder how it makes you view the political process in this country when you are in the middle of a political fight, you know, a couple hundred miles away.
Well, it certainly puts things in perspective. And while, you know, I would be out of my element opining about federal policy, but certainly when you've got close to 18,000 people in Puerto Rico that have, you know, reported or been diagnosed with Zika, that means the number is actually a lot higher. And the CDC has been pretty clear that more funding is needed. And certainly I can attest to the impact that the disease has on your life.
And what about you at this point? Are you scared?
It is a little nerve-wracking. It's a source of stress. It's kind of a black cloud that you just have to, you know, go on with your day and try not to think too much about. But it's going to be a continuing conversation with doctors, and hopefully we'll get some answers sooner rather than later.
Well, I appreciate you coming here to talk about it with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Nick Brown. He's former San Juan bureau chief for Reuters, and while on assignment in San Juan, he contracted the Zika virus.